Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly good to see each and every one of you here today, and I appreciate so much Sheila being here. And it's good to have her back. And she's not here except for just today. And then she's going to be gone for a while, and then Dion will leave for a little while, and then hopefully someday we get them all back and they don't move. But, you know, when you get a promotion, I guess you have to follow that. I love John the Baptist. And the reason why I love John the Baptist is because he did what John was talking about in class today. Number one, he knew what his purpose was. Good to have you visiting with us too, by the way. He knew why he was here, he knew his purpose, and John the Baptist also knew that he was going to recognize the Christ. And after he recognized the Christ, he had to lower himself down and finally turn people over to Christ. And you can imagine how popular he was and how humble he was at the same time. So I love John the Baptist. And so that's who we're talking about today. In John 1, 15 through 18, he says, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." There's an awful lot in that, but John was testifying about him over and over. His whole program was the kingdom of God is coming. And if the kingdom of God was coming, then the king was coming. And if the king was coming, and that is a special rule of God, there's always been a kingdom of God ever since the beginning. But there's going to be a special kind of kingdom, and that kingdom is going to have a perfect one that is going to rule. And that was going to be, for the first time, God is going to turn everything in heaven and earth over to a man. And that man is Jesus Christ. And so he's testifying that he's coming, and you need to get ready for his coming. And so he's preparing a people, preparing their hearts. And as the Bible says, he's going to turn the father's hearts to the children, the children's heart to the fathers. And once again, the fathers are going to teach the children about God and teach the children about what's Christ coming and so on. And so Christ is superior to John the Baptist, and he's superior in so many ways. Number one, Christ supplies all the needs of his people. John could not supply all of the needs. He could supply some of the needs, and that is preparing them to receive the Christ. But here we find out Christ supplies all of the needs of his people. And if he supplies every need, it's like the truth. If you have all truth, as John said this morning, there is no more. You've got all of it. All that God wants to give you, he has given you, and he's not giving you any more. And he is saying that Christ supplies every need that you have. He is introducing him, the one that is going to supply all of your needs. And so he's greater than John the Baptist, and he's greater than Moses. And Jesus is greater than Moses. If you remember, who was the mediator between God and man when Moses was alive? Well, it was Moses. Moses was the mediator, and God worked through him, and then he then told the people what God wanted. And Jesus Christ is here, and he is God, and he is telling them exactly what the Father wants and explaining in a way that they can understand. So he brought grace and truth instead of law. You remember Moses, and by the way, it wasn't really Moses that gave the law. We call it the law of Moses, but it was really Christ giving the law through Moses in the Old Testament. But I want you to remember something. Grace is a wonderful thing. And I want you to focus for just a little bit upon the grace of God. Grace is a wonderful thing because it is the favor of God. God is favoring you. And it says that the truth was brought by Moses, but grace and truth was brought by Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think for just a minute, if you just had to have the truth. What is the truth about you? When you discover in the Bible about truth, you're going to find out that you're condemned. You're going to find out that you're a sinner. You're going to find out that really, compared to what God wants, you are no good. And so we look at that, and then all of a sudden, here comes grace. Now, God always used grace in the Old Testament, and he used grace over and over and over. But Moses did not give that grace. God used that grace even above the law. In other words, you could not be justified by the law, but you could be justified because God extended grace even in the Old Testament. But here in the New Testament, Jesus is bringing God's grace to you. And if you have God's grace, then God is favoring you, and therefore you can have repentance. And if you can have repentance, then you can get forgiveness of sins. And so he is bringing these wonderful things to us. The one no one has seen is being revealed. In other words, John the Baptist says, I'm going to reveal to you somebody. When I can finally identify him, I will reveal somebody to you that has it all, that he is going to give you everything that you possibly could need, and he is going to be the one that is going to reveal everything that God wants you to know. Jesus didn't reveal everything God wanted us to know until after he died and went back to heaven and then worked through the apostles, and they finally gave us everything we needed. One of the things that we remember is that we are blessed if we really see the glory of God. You remember we talked about, and in Leviticus it talks about the Shekinah of God. And the Shekinah of God is the presence of God. And here the reality comes. Jesus Christ is coming into the world, coming in to where people are going to recognize him, coming in, and he's going to start preaching the glorious gospel that is getting ready, and he's going to reveal the things that is going to be revealed in the gospel as he talks about something that was coming, and that was the kingdom of God, and then the wonderfulness of God is going to come. In John 1:15, it says, John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. Now, how could Jesus be before John? Do you remember what relationship John and Jesus had? They were cousins. And John was 6 months older than Jesus. And yet, he says, I recognize that he was before me. In other words, we started out in John 1:1, if you remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word is who created everything, and therefore in John 1:14, he's going to say that that Word is Jesus Christ. He became flesh. And Christ is eternal before anyone or anything. Now, when you think about eternity, people sometimes say, where did God come from? Well, if you're from eternity, you don't come from anywhere. You have always been. And this says that he was in the beginning, and he has always been. And so he is eternal before anyone or anything. And if we really grasp that, we're finding that eternity has come here and we are seeing what is eternal in person, in a person. Eternity is with us. And John preceded Christ in earth time. In other words, he was born 6 months before. And then Christ preceded John in importance. In other words, John says, I am just a servant. I'm here and I'm not even worthy to loosen the straps on his shoes. Well, I want you to think, that is hard to admit that somebody is that important and you're not even willing, you're not even able to. It's a privilege just to untie his shoelaces. But he said, I'm not even worthy to do that. What a comparison he makes, that the great message that he's preaching, there's one that's going to come with a greater message, one that's going to come that is greater than he, one that is going to come that all of everybody is coming out to be baptized of him, and he says, you know what? This is the one I ought to be baptized from. And before Christ, John was the important one. And after Christ, John fades into the past. He becomes a part of history. And so there he is, and he is ready to introduce Jesus Christ. It says, John 1:16, from him, his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Now, I want you to think about the grace of God for just a minute. The sunshine comes up this morning, that's grace of God. The air that we breathe, that's the grace of God. You and I, being in fellowship with each other, that's the grace of God. But the grace of God, he says, not only am I going to give you grace, and that's all physical grace and all the things that you can see, but he says, I'm going to give you grace upon grace. Now, I want you to just imagine for a moment you being lost, don't know where you're going, have no idea what you're going to do, and all of a sudden God says, I'm going to show you everything that you need to know. I'm going to give you something that you're going to know where you're going. I'm going to save your life. I'm going to give you everything to where you'll have eternal life. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to keep giving you more grace, grace upon grace. You have grace in one way, and now I'm going to give you even more grace. And every day we get up, and we ought to be glorious. What should we praise God for? The Bible says that we should praise him for his grace. His grace is working in us. Do you remember the first time you obeyed the gospel, Dion? Wasn't it wonderful that you all of a sudden knew, I have been saved. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to live my life, and I've got direction in a way that I've never understood before. In other words, a light bulb goes off, and all of a sudden you can see things that you had never seen before. You're looking, instead of physically, you're looking at spiritual, and you're thinking about spiritual things. This is one of the things that's disappearing even in the Lord's church. And I'm talking about local congregations where they now are becoming playgrounds, or they're not serious about what's going on. And we should be in praise of his grace. His grace is working in us. And I want you to think the fullness of Jesus, or the fullness that should be the fullness of God, is Jesus. I got that just a little backwards. But the fullness of God is Jesus. If you want to be full of God, get Jesus into your life. That fills you up with everything God wants for you. That gives you every spiritual blessing that you can think of. Now, the wonderful blessings that we have are physically around us is wonderful, but can you imagine spiritual blessings flowing into you, that you have a joy every day, even though you're crying? I think Terry is a good example right now. She has a joy inside of her because she knows where her dad headed, and she knows also where she's headed. And she knows also that there is a peace within her, even though she goes through so much sorrow for not having her dad with us. So God has always extended grace. And on top of the usual grace is more grace, more and more grace. You know what? If you're miserable in life, It's because you don't see the grace of God. If you really see the grace of God, you have a joy within you. If you really see the grace of God every day, you're thankful. If you really see the grace of God, even in all the sickness, you say, see God working. All of this is grace upon grace, and he says, I'm giving you my son, and I want you to learn from it. Favor of God upon favor of God. That's what grace is, favor, favor, favor. Do we have a right to really come before God? Now, if you study Leviticus, you're going to find out that people had a hard time coming before God. And they had to come certain ways. All of the things that was studied in Leviticus, by the way, Jesus Christ fulfills that. He is our offering. He is the one that fulfills all of this. And so God says, I'm not putting you through all these burdensome things. I'm going to let him die for you. I'm going to let him be the one that gives you all of these forgivenesses and all of these things that Leviticus required. So full of grace is having Jesus in your life. Now, grace becomes our teacher. I want us to get that. Grace becomes our teacher. Now, what is the grace of God? It's Jesus Christ. And if you remember in Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. When he sent his son died upon the cross. Salvation was open to every human being. And still is open today. The reason why people don't obey is because they do not appreciate the grace of God, and they're not going to be taught by the grace of God. They will not let Jesus teach them anything. And that's their problem. He's training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Now I'm going to tell you, we live in a world that everybody is following after their passions and their ungodly passions. He says he trains a people to know how to deny those things and live for God. I wonder how many of us really sit down and study how to overcome this world. To live self-controlled. You know, you look out in traffic and you don't see that very often, do you? People are not self-controlled. They're out there, and I'll tell you what, it's pitiful. It is pitiful how people are treating each other on the highways, and it's pitiful how in the church that we go home and say, you know what, that preacher preached this, and I didn't particularly like that, and did you see how John conducted himself? Did you see? We don't love the grace of God. The grace of God teaches us and teaches us how to control ourselves. Have you ever seen church members that you'd just like to slap? Oh, I have. I've seen it. I've seen a lot of you at times that I'd like to slap, and you've seen at times you'd like to slap me. I know that. But God says, look, Don, as aggravating as he is, and he is aggravating, and I told him, put the microphone on. But I love Don. And we have self-control. I hope out in traffic, I hope husband and wife. Have you ever watched husband and wife really fight? I mean really fight. We lose control. What brings us back? the grace of God. That's what God says not to do. God says that we are to be patient, that we are to be in control, and we are to love one another. And I'm not saying that we don't have our arguments. Brothers and sisters argue. Will we know each other in heaven? Jeff, will we know each other in heaven? Oh, you really think so? Okay, well, I don't know that John agrees with you on that. To be upright. You know, that's the way we were made. We were made upright, to walk upright. And it also means spiritually to be upright. To be upright and godly lives in this present age. Can that happen today in this present age? Yes. But what does it take? It takes getting rid of the ignorance. It takes getting rid of all of that junk and being taught. Let grace teach you. And Jesus said, I will teach you, and you will know it comes from God. So it takes time for us to do that. And John the Baptist is saying, I want you to listen. Pay attention, because he's going to teach. He says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So John is contrasting between the old and the new. In other words, here in the Old Testament, yes, you got grace, but I want you to think, Moses brought the law, and that law is a terrible thing. Law is a horrible, horrible thing without grace. Because law always condemns you. Grace justifies you. Do you follow that difference? Law condemns you. Grace justifies you. And that justification, that grace, is when Christ comes into your heart. You stand justified and get every spiritual blessing. Do you realize if you don't have spiritual blessings, unless you are searching for God, God does not hear your prayer if you're not in Christ. Do you realize that? We can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and that doesn't do any good unless we have Christ or we are searching for God. You remember Cornelius' prayer was heard. Most attribute law to Moses, and actually Jesus gave that law. Isn't that what he is claiming all the way through? Moses didn't really give you that. I gave it to you. Who do you think directed people in the Old Testament? It was Christ. The word came to Moses. Moses simply related the word. Who is the word, angel? Jesus Christ. That's who was directing in the Old Testament. That's what gave the law. And when he gave the law, the faithful Jews had to go outside of the law, get the grace of God to be saved. David was saved. Why? Because he didn't depend upon law to save him. He depended upon the grace of God. And God saved him. Now we see the favor of God to man. God says, and do you remember what he said? You remember what John said when he first saw Christ? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away, not the sins, the sin. In other words, mankind had been so bad that he lumped it up into sin and said, man can't get to me with sin. And he takes the sin away, and now it can get to God. Now we see true reality through Christ. You know, we live in an imaginary world half the time. And Jesus comes and says, I want you to look, This is reality. If you want to know what reality is, look to me and listen to me. I will show you what is real. We're going to get away from Disneyland, and we're going to have a reality. We're not in a Mickey Mouse world anymore. I want you to recognize the world that you're in, because the world that you're in is not really the world you belong to. You belong to another realm, and that's the heavenly realm and the spiritual realm. By the way, Wednesday night, we're going to be studying on the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm. Always in the source is the Father. In other words, I hear people, I don't want to go through the Father way. I just want to love Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you love the Father. And so God the Father is always in the background, and he's turned this over to Jesus after Jesus died. I want you to think of this when we're talking about this, Jesus coming into the world. In the old creation, how did God create it? God said, God spoke, God the Word. The Word is all of the world, and all of creation is through Jesus Christ. And all of the new world, you remember when Jesus came, he is starting a new world. And we're still looking for that new heavens and new earth, and Jesus started it when he came here. And we are now participating in that new world that is to come. And it started through the Word. Both the spiritual and the physical is started through the Word. In John 1:18-28, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. And so they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And that word Lord is Jehovah, by the way, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even as he comes after me, the strap of his sandals I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. I want you to get this. No one has ever seen God. But do you remember there's a passage in the Bible that says that there's going to be those that see God? Have you seen God? That's the question. Have you seen God? Yes, and he looks a lot like Jesus. Right? You've seen God. If you see Jesus, and in fact, John mentioned it this morning. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But what were they looking for? A physical body? No. What he was saying, what he was doing, what he was practicing. He's saying, I'm doing the things that God does all the time. And you're watching that. No one has ever seen God. Moses saw the backside of God's glory. Oh, and it changed him a lot. What was the backside of his glory? He saw his mercy, all of the attributes of God. But Moses was not allowed to see God. God said, no, you can't look at me head on. If you saw all of the glory of God at one time, you'd die. So Moses saw the afterglow of God's glory. Can you imagine God passing before you and what you would feel and what you would think? I'll tell you, it would change you completely. And in that scene, God spoke to him face to face. How could that be? If I've never seen God, how can God speak to me face to face? Well, it means that we are revealing some of God's character. That's all it means. Isaiah saw the terrifying glory. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Now, as I told you before, that's a theophany. But I want you to imagine one day that you're walking down, let's just say we come in here, and we have a stranger come in. And I walk up to him and I say, I'm Mason French. What's your name? He says, I'm God. And what if I really find out that that is God? I'll tell you what, I would be terrified until he says, don't fear. They saw God and didn't even know it. Jesus breaks the barrier that concealed God. And this makes way for John 6:46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. So if I want to know about the Father, guess where I have to go? To Jesus. In John 14:9, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, have I been with you so long? You still do not know me, Philip. That's Philip, I mean. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? That's not recognizing God, isn't it? If I don't recognize who Jesus is, I don't recognize it. Jesus' closeness to the Father allows him to speak about heavenly things. In John 3:12-13, I have told you earthly things and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. I don't know how my time runs out so quick, but it does. I want to say, if we show God out here in physical things, and you cannot understand that, it's impossible for me to speak to you about spiritual things. That's what he's saying. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Jesus is the conduit. The incarnate word makes God. He is the exegesis of God. Jesus is in the narration of God. He is the ultimate disclosure of God. If you want to know God, you go to Jesus. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. John's father was a priest. And he was a Levite. And the Levites had come, and they wanted to know. And Jesus explained to them, I know my speaking power is greater than your sitting power, so I love you. And I want to tell you, brethren, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're lost. If you don't heed what God says, you've chosen hell. And if you've chosen that, I don't think you're going to be happy with your choice. But God is so perfect that he says, I won't force anybody to believe in me. You can make a choice. You can choose to obey the gospel of Christ by believing that God loves you, that he sent his son to die for you, and that causes you to repent and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins as the blood of Christ takes away your sin. Come on, while together we stand and sing.